All right, let's sing again, and let's go to number 81, and then we'll have Jason do a special for us. If you got one for us tonight, Jason? Okay. But this one, again, going kind of along with our subject here tonight, prophecy, the unclouded day, number 81. Number 81. Oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the skies. Oh, they tell me of a home far away. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, the land of cloudless day. Sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, they tell me of a home where my friends have gone. Oh, they tell me of that land far away where the tree of life in eternal blue sheds its fragrance through the unclouded day. Oh, the land of cloudless day. Oh, the land of an unclouded sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Stand on the last two verses. Oh, they tell me of a king in his beauty there, and they tell me that my eye shall behold where he sits on the throne that is whiter than snow, in that city that is made of gold. Oh, the land of cloudless day. Sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, they tell me that he smiles on his children there. Amen. And his smile drives their sorrow all away. And they tell me that no tears ever come again. Land of unclouded day. Oh, the land of cloudless day. Oh, the land of an unclouded sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day.
Amen. All right, you may be seated. Good singing, good song.
They know not what they do. I see Jesus. Savior standing by.
Bibles and turn to Matthew 24. We just saw on the news yesterday and then even today there was an earthquake in Ecuador, and I think it was 280 some figures up to 280 some now of people who died in that earthquake down in Ecuador. And a few days earlier, magnitude pretty high in the sixes. Earthquake in Japan. What's that, Kathy?
There were 1.6 and 1.7.
There were two of them in Japan, yeah. And in fact, I think there were like 100 aftershocks. So earthquakes going on all over. And a few years ago, Haiti had a terrible earthquake there, and many souls died there. And folks, that is not something that, as we enter the end times, surprises me. For my Bible, and right here where we're at, tells me these things. And so Matthew 24, we go down to, you can see there in verse 3, he sat upon the Mount of Olives. And so he's sitting on a mountain, type of a kingdom. And so he's the king on a mountain, talking to his disciples, who someday will be there in that 1,000-year reign of Christ down the road, still future yet. But he answered, verse 4, and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. So, folks, that would be the person that we call what? Antichrist, all right? Antichrist, all right? Jesus warned his disciples about it, and by our reading it, we're being warned. All right, verse 6, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. By the way, if you don't have a King James Bible, these words are missing out of that verse. All these things is missing. So your New Modern Version will just say, for it must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Wait a minute. How about, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Verse 7, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences. And the New Modern Versions leave that out too, the word pestilences. Leave that out. Aren't we seeing pestilences going on? Right now we got that Zika virus thing going on. Babies being born with malformed heads and brains and things like that. Prior to this, we had the Ebola outbreak. We thought we weren't going to be able to get that ended. Very difficult disease. And in fact, I hear that some are still getting that over there in Sierra Leone and Nigeria. That it's still breaking out every once in a while. Pestilences, it says. And earthquakes in divers places. Divers means many different kinds of places. Many different kinds of places. Earthquakes in many different kinds of places. I don't know if we ever heard of one in Ecuador before. And, of course, Japan, I guess they're pretty much prone to that. The West Coast, the United States, prone to it as well. And they say that that one is just waiting to break out, a big, huge one on the West Coast. I don't know if it bothers some people who live out there or not, but they keep telling us that that could happen there. So earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. You know what? There are a lot of them around, even today, right now. A lot of what? False prophets and deceivers. And I believe this has a reference to spiritually deceiving people. A great spiritual deception going on in our world today. If there was ever a time when Bible believers needed to be in this book, it is now. And if you're kind of lackadaisical about studying God's word or how important is the Bible, stop being lackadaisical and start being a Bible student and study and read your Bible. Go to church, hear good, make sure you hear good preaching. Why? Because there are many false prophets out there and deceivers. So you've got to make sure you're listening to men who are preaching according to this book. Now, I know they all say they do. They all say they're preaching according to the book. Well, you know, to say it's one thing, to really be doing it is another. And how do you know whether they're doing it or not? You are responsible to study this yourself and listen to what they have to say and study it yourself. In the book of Acts, there was a group of people from Thessalonica, and even when Paul preached, they were not satisfied just to hear his words. They studied the scriptures themselves to see if those things which Paul was saying was correct. And we call those people what? What's their names? The Bereans. Yep, the Bereans. And it's because they're from that place called Berea. And they were known as people who would study the scripture to make sure what the preacher is saying is in the Bible. Oh, that people would do that today. These guys are saying stuff off the cuff and just blabbing it out there on the airwaves. And it's not even scriptural. And in fact, it borders on blasphemy, some of the things. And yet people don't even see them as false prophets and deceivers. You have a responsibility to study this book yourself and make sure you're not following a deceiver, okay? All right, then continuing on there, verse 12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Now, did I read anything about personal evangelism in this passage so far till I came to that verse? Did Jesus talk about anything about getting saved through faith in Jesus Christ? No. So that verse of scripture there is not talking about if you endure to the end, you'll be saved and born again. No. It's talking about if you endure through this troublous time, you will be delivered on the other end to go into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And this gospel of the kingdom, verse 14, shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. And then it continues to go on, talking about the Antichrist and things like that. Notice, Jesus gives his own stamp of, I'm not going to say approval, you don't have to prove anything, but his stamp of confirmation on the book of Daniel actually being written by Daniel. You know, there are some who do not believe that the person Daniel wrote the book of Daniel. The reason is, because how could he have known what the future was going to hold so distinctly, so exactly? Talking about kingdoms to come that weren't even being thought about as world empires at the time Daniel lived. And yet he talked about the four world empires that would come on the scene. The one that was on the scene at his time was Babylon. And then there would be Persia. And then there would be Greece. And then there would be Rome. Hundreds of years later. And that's why they cannot believe that Daniel wrote that book, because how did he know all that? Well, I'll tell you how he knew all that. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And they wrote down those things. Daniel didn't say it off the top of his head. God gave him the interpretation of the visions that he saw. And then he wrote them down for us in the book of Daniel. And Jesus says, Daniel wrote that. He says, spoken of by Daniel the prophet. When you hear the things that Daniel wrote about starting to take place, look out. The end is there. The end is coming. All right, so that's just a little thing of introduction. Why am I talking about that? I believe we're entering into the end times, folks. Here we are, a little church. You know, Ray Street Baptist Church. How many we got here tonight? About 30 people, maybe. 30 people out of the thousands who live in the Lehigh Valley area here. And we're gathered here with a common belief. We're in the end times. And the Lord's coming back pretty soon. And the rapture of the church could take place tonight. This is what we believe. Does the rest of this Lehigh Valley believe that for the most part? No. They're just going on down the road, happy go along, you know, merrily down the stream. You know, what is it? How's it go? Row, row, row your boat, merrily down the stream. Yeah. Yeah. Life is but a dream. Heading to an end that we know the Bible talks about. And I didn't say this. Jesus said this. This is in red letter. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. I'm just reading what Jesus said. And I'm seeing these things taking place. So that's why I am telling you, I believe we're in the end times. So the next thing to take place, of course, you know what our position here at Ray Street Baptist Church is. It has always been that for 40 years. And even long before that, we believe these things, that the next event on God's calendar of things to take place is what we refer to as the rapture of the church. This is, now, the word rapture is not in our Bibles, all right? It's not there. It's a Latin word which comes from the word in the Latin Bibles for catching up or catching away, rapture. And so we got that term from the Latin versions of the Bible, and we use it to describe the doctrine of the catching home of all the believers at any moment. And this can take place at any time. The one passage I want you to see is John chapter 14. John chapter 14. I believe that this describes some of the things taking place in the rapture. Now, you say, but it's in the Gospel of John, and I thought that had to do with Israel and so forth. Well, starting in chapter 14 through... Now, if you have a red letter edition Bible... Take a look at how red, how much red there is in John chapter 14, 15, and 16. Now, I know even 17 is red too, but that's the Lord's prayer to the Father up in heaven while he was here on earth. But 14 through 16, the Lord is teaching his disciples what things are going to be like when he leaves. Because he's going to leave. In fact, he left and he has still stayed where he left to go, up there in heaven. He's still there. What did he do? He left this earth. He ascended up on Mount Olives and went back to his Father's house. And he's sitting at the right hand of God right now. Since then, what has happened? The church age has taken place. And he began in chapter 14... and all the way through chapter 16 to tell them what things will be like after I'm gone. And so he was preparing them to be living during this church age. And he starts out with this great well-known passage, verses 1 through 4. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Folks, this is different than the nation of Israel has ever heard before. So this is obviously something new, something that Jesus has not revealed to anybody up to this point. This matter of, I'm going to my Father's house and I'm going to build a place for you, you guys, you disciples, to live in, and I'm going to come back and receive you unto myself, and we're going to be together. Abraham was never told that. Abraham was told, you see the land you're walking on, Abraham? I'm going to give it to you as an everlasting inheritance. Well, we know that that's still future because God hasn't given it to Abraham, and Abraham's not walking on it. And so Abraham has to be raised up, and he's going to have to take over that land as his own. All the rest of the Israelites have been told the same thing after Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the 12 tribes have been promised that. The prophets of the Old Testament kept telling Israel of the great day coming in which that land will be theirs, and all the Gentile nations round about will be submissive to them. Oh boy, this passage right here I just read to you is totally brand new information. And it can only apply to us in this church age. So he says, I'm going to go prepare a place. I'm going to come back and receive you unto myself. Now, he never told that to Israel as a nation before. So this is obviously not information for Israel, but for future church recipients, people who are going to be in the church age. And all the disciples would be that. They would enter right into the church age after the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord. And God would turn his attention from Israel to the Gentiles. And one of these days, he's going to be done turning his attention to the Gentiles. And he's going to rapture home this church, made up of both Jew and Gentile, back home to be with him. And then he's going to work on Israel again. So the next event is this rapture, which is seen in here. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the well-known passage of scripture for the rapture of the church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Anybody have any questions so far? I want this to be an open thing. And remind me, if you ask a question, I need to repeat it so that people who are listening in will know what the question is. All right? So anybody have any questions so far? All right. Now, looking at your little thing there, so far we're at the far left there, the rapture of the church. Okay, here's one more place. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. And that's referring to all the believers who have already died up to the point of this writing. That you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and do we believe that? Yeah, I believe Jesus died, rose again. Even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So those who have already died in the church age, we know where their body is because we've buried many of them, all right? But it says here, they sleep in Jesus and God will bring them with him. So their soul and spirit must be somewhere else other than in the grave. Their body's in the grave, but their soul and spirit's with the Lord right now. And we got other passages which tell us that. All right, verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent. And that word prevent means go ahead of. Shall not go ahead of or proceed them which are asleep. That's it. That's a beautiful promise. Those who have already died in Christ, God's going to take care of them first when the rapture takes place. That's just to comfort us. Because we might say, well, what if he leaves them here and just takes us who are alive and remain? Yeah, well, what about the... We're going to take care of them first. All right, believers? We're going to take care of all your dead relatives who are saved. We're going to take care of them first. All right, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. So expect a shout at any moment. With the voice of the archangel. And an archangel is going to shout out something, I don't know what. And with the trump of God. So there's going to be a trumpet sound. So I'll be waiting for a trumpet sound. All right. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. And that, and in the Latin, that comes out as rapturus or something like that. And that's where we get the word rapture out today. That which we which are alive and remain shall be caught up or raptured together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So according to this passage, what I see happening here is the bodies of the dead are going to be raised up and put back together with their soul and spirit. And another passage, which we won't read for sake of time, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tells us changed in a twinkling of an eye, in a moment changed from being mortal to immortal, from being corruptible to incorruptible. And then we who are alive and remain. See, the rapture could take place while we're still here in our meeting. It could happen while we're here. Wouldn't that be something? Right out of here. And guess what? I'm leaving my clothes behind. And I'm glad it's in a twinkling of an eye so you don't have to see it. I'm just joking, all right. You know what else I'm going to leave behind? These crutches and this boot. I'm going to leave that behind. Someone else can have that. And you know what? Someone else can have this building. I don't care. Right? And they can have all the bills that go along with it and everything else. They're probably going to come in here and wonder, what happened here? Look at all the clothes left here. Your shoes and sneakers and shoelaces and your cups and all the stuff going to be left here. Somebody is going to come in here and find this situation. Why won't they believe? Hey, yeah, you know what? I remember them talking about the rapture. That must have happened. I'm going to get saved. That isn't going to happen. They're going. Remember I said there are false prophets and deceivers right now even? The deception is going to be so great in that hour that they are going to believe a lie. And there's all kinds of things out there in the world right now going, and I believe the devil's preparing for all this stuff too. You know, people talking about, aliens coming and taking people away and stuff like that. Oh yeah, the aliens got them. Well, it wasn't no alien. It was my Lord and Savior caught us up out of here. And forever to be with the Lord we shall be. And so there you go. That's just the next thing that's going to take place. Then I believe after that, there's another event going to take place. You see it there? The Russian invasion of Israel. And down below, Muslim activity. I don't think it's any strange thing to be beholding the Muslim foment that's going on in the world today. And I don't mean to say that anybody who is from those countries is bad or wicked or anything, but you need to realize that these things have been foretold in the scriptures, that there would be this activity among the nations, which today we consider to be a majority of Muslim activity, Muslim population. And it is going on right around us. Every day we're seeing it in a newspaper. Do you know there was a time when I was a child and I heard about the rapture and everything? We didn't hear anything about Iraq, Iran, Syria, Turkey, Egypt, the uprising in all these nations, the nation Qatar. I don't know why they call it that. It seems like it's Qatar or Quatar or something like that to me, but they say Qatar, Saudi Arabia. All these nations stirring up. And there's another nation very significantly, a large one, which is also getting involved in all this, named Russia. Russia. And just tonight we saw on the ticker news thing going across the TV thing that last week Russian warships got close to our warships. And then today it's said that warplanes were following our warplanes very close, more closely than they're supposed to in international waters. Mm-hmm. And isn't it interesting to hear the the give and take going back and forth between our president and the president of Russia, going back and forth, and almost like as if Russia is snubbing their nose at the United States. Like say, don't bother us, we'll do whatever we want to do. This has all been foretold in the scripture. Would you go with me to Ezekiel chapter 38? Ezekiel chapter 38. Now, I know that there are some who want to put the circumstances of Ezekiel 38 and 39 to be equal to the battle of Armageddon. But I don't believe you can do that. Now, just where this event takes place, I'm going to tell you, I don't know. Don't know when, but I believe it's the next event to take place right after the rapture of the church. Could it take place at the same time as the rapture? I don't know. Maybe, but I'm not going to be dogmatic on that. I don't have a verse of scripture to say that. So, by the way, you see I don't want to set myself up as this, but a good preacher will tell that to you. They'll say, I don't know for sure. I can't be dogmatic about that. But I know it's going to be very close to the rapture. And I'll give you the reasons why in just a moment. But just take a look at some of these nations mentioned here. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. Interesting names there. They all point their finger to the nation as we know it today of Russia. Russia. You say, oh, I don't see Russia in there. Okay. How about Meshech? That's another way of saying Moscow. Tubal is another way of saying Tobolsk. The word chief prince comes out sounding like this. Rosh. Did you hear it? Rosh. Well, there's no other nation around that gets close to that except what we refer to as Russia. Russia. Rosh. Chief prince. And the land of Gog and Magog is always considered to be north of the land of Israel and usually referring to a faraway country, northern country. Well, again, you look at your map. We got a map up there of the world. You can take a look at it later. Russia is right up there above. Now, down here it says that God's going to turn them back, put hooks in their jaws, bring them down. And they're going to get together with, verse 5, Persia, Ethiopia, Libya, with them, all of them with shield and helmet, Gomer and all his bands, the house of Togarma of the north quarters and all his bands, and many people with thee. And they're going to come down, verse 8, after many days thou shalt be visited. In the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of what? Israel. This group, this confederacy of nations is going to gather together and they're going to come down on the mountains of Israel. And which have been in the past always waste, as verse 8 says, but it is brought forth out of the nations. We know that the United Nations gave them that spot down there. Israel, that spot in Palestine there, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. And Israel's just going to be sitting down there feeling safe when this event takes place. Now, right now, we protect Israel. At least right now we do. You hear the talk of the politicians, and some want to stop being so aggressive in our protection of Israel. And want to take the side of the enemies of Israel to a certain extent. You see it happening, and I'm not surprised at that. I have no faith in the American electorate to see through these things and vote for the right guys to get in there. I just don't have any faith in the American electorate to do that. This election ought to really put the screws on it for good. I just don't have any faith that the American people know enough and are smart enough
or know enough about their own constitution and why our nation is the way it is, and the founding fathers and all that, to make the right decisions. And we're going to be like one of the nations mentioned a little bit later in this passage here. So who are these nations? Persia is another name for Iran and Iraq, the location of Iran and Iraq. Ethiopia, you automatically think of the one that's down in Africa, but Ethiopia was also used as a name to describe the country east of the Holy Land, and that would take in Pakistan. Libya, again, you think of that one as being in Africa, but is another old name for the land we know as Afghanistan today. Gomer is a name for, an old name for Germany. Germany. Isn't it interesting that a lot of immigrants are finding their way up into Germany and France and even into the United Kingdom? And so many, Belgium and so many of these countries, Brussels just had that incident in the airport. Jihadist terrorists blew that place up. And they don't know what to do. Their security is just a mess, and they just don't know what to do. There's just a lot of trouble in this whole area here. Togarma is also another name for the country known as Turkey. Turkey. Folks, we're living this out. It's happening right now. Now, I know they haven't come down. They're not ready to fight and all things like that. But you know what? The rumblings are taking place. And there's usually a rumbling going on before you actually see the actual event take place. So, I for one, whenever I see news clips about all this going on, the immigration thing, illegal immigration and so forth, and the turmoil in all these countries going on, I just say to myself, I see Ezekiel 38 and 39 coming to pass. And God's going to do this to speak to the nations of the world and also to the nation of Israel as well. It goes on. Let's see. I will go down to verse 10. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind. And he's talking about the nation of Russia. Some things are going to come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages, referring to Israel. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls, and having neither bars nor gates, to take a spoil, and to take a prey, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations. That's the Jews being brought back into the nation, which have gotten cattle and goods that dwell in the midst of the land. Now here's where we come in, I believe. Verse 13. Sheba, which has reference to Saudi Arabia, and Dedan, and the merchants of Tarshish, with all the young lions thereof, I believe have reference to other nations round about, like Saudi Arabia. You know, Saudi Arabia doesn't know what to do with the whole situation. They don't know whose side to help or not help. They kind of just sit there and things just happen all around them. But the merchants of Tarshish may very well have reference to the British Empire and the United Kingdom. And the young lions, which could have reference to countries that have come forth out of the British Empire, possibly even referring to the United States of America. I'm going to put these down here. They're bothering me. All right, out of my sight. For those of you listening, those are the crutches that I'm on right now. Okay, this has reference, I believe, to nations such as our own, the United States of America. And what do they do? What does Britain, United States, do when they see Russia getting together, confederating with these Muslim nations to come down onto Israel? And don't these Muslim nations even speak about Israel? They want to push them into the Mediterranean Sea. They want to obliterate them off the face of the earth. I mean, their presidents of their countries say this. Not just some crackpot, you know, who has a newspaper. No, the presidents of these countries say this about their hatred of Israel. And what is the merchants of Tarshish and the young lions shall, verse 13, shall say unto thee, unto Russia, art thou come to take a spoil? Question. Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey? Question. To carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, and to take a great spoil? Question. And it's left there like that. There's no answers. These countries are going, oh, hey, Russia, what are you doing? What are you going to do? And that's all we do is question them. We don't stop them. We just question them. And so therefore, they're going to come down. And the thing about it, and it continues to go on through the end of the chapter, but you got to go to chapter 39. For sake of time and not reading the whole thing. Therefore, thou son of man, I'm in chapter 39, prophesy against Gog and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince, and there would be Rush of Meshach and Tubal, and I will turn thee back and leave but the sixth part of thee, and will cause thee to come up from the north parts, and will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel. Now, something has happened here that we only can surmise. All right, here we go. And I'm telling you, I'm only surmising. But I am reading what it says here, that God is going to leave but a sixth part of Russia. So something is going to happen to 5/6 of Russia. The only thing I can think of is that a terrible war or nuclear event or something. Now, of course, you know, I'm talking in modern day, and this is in the Bible. I know preachers 200, 300 years ago, what did they say about this? You know, they knew nothing about nuclear, knew nothing about helicopter, attack helicopters and stuff like that. They knew nothing of that, you know. But God says, I'm going to leave but a sixth part of you, and that's the part that's going to confederate with all these Muslim nations and come down to attack Israel. How that happens, I don't know. You can surmise some things. I know we got nuclear proliferation going on, and nations have nuclear warheads that probably shouldn't have them. North Korea showing off their nuclear capabilities. The other day, they did another missile, and it blew up on the pad. Wow. Yeah, wow. And this country has charge of nuclear, and this is the kind of mistakes they can make, things like that. Wow. Our country, of course, has nuclear capability. Whether or not we have capability to really protect ourselves, you know, it used to be called MAD. Mutual something destruction. Assured? Mutual assured destruction. In other words, Russia, if you ever decide to launch a missile to what, just be aware that we're going to wipe you out too. I'm not too sure that we could do that today. One has to wonder, when did we get a new silo built, you know? It's probably all rusty. The missile will come out. I'm just joking a little bit there, but last I heard is they just had to arrest a bunch of the guys at one of the silo locations because they were all drunk when a test was being done. I don't know, folks. Could something very bad, very awful, maybe even accidentally happen that causes 5/6 of Russia to no longer be there? Maybe it's not nuclear. Maybe it's disease. Maybe it's pestilence. Something like that could happen and leave but 1/6 of Russia behind. So I don't want to be an alarmist, but, you know, I probably am alarming some, maybe, in what I'm saying. But it could be other things. Could be an earthquake. Could be volcano. Could, you know, any kind of things like that. God could leave but just a sixth part of them. That doesn't bode well for us. Where do we fit in? You know, where does our country fit in? If 5/6 of Russia is gone, one has to wonder if something hasn't happened to some of the other nations of the world as well, maybe including our own. But remember, we're already gone. We're already gone, all right? Rapture's already taken place. Then these things will come into play. And you can see what God's going to do. This really isn't even a battle. God brings them down there. He actually draws them down there, and he's going to destroy them himself. It's not going to be Israel doing it. You know, as long as we supply Israel with the weapons they need to destroy this army, it's not going to be that. It's going to be God. God is going to do it. And he's going to show Israel, look, I am your God. And he's going to say to the rest of the nations, the God of Israel is still around. And he's real. Whether or not it will turn them all right away or not, I don't know. But I know this, that a lot in Israel, and you can read the rest of that chapter 39 and see what God's going to do and destroy them. And they're going to be burning the equipment of the battle, the battlements that they bring down for 7 years. Isn't that an interesting number? 7 years. How long is the tribulation period? 7 years. So for 7 years, during which God is going to be judging this earth and the Antichrist is going to be rising up and everything, they're going to be cleaning up the mess of this confederacy of Russia and the Muslims coming down on the mountains of Israel for 7 years. And you know what else I believe is going to take place? Keep on going on my timeline there. The next thing is 144,000 witnesses sealed in their foreheads. Now the Jehovah's Witnesses, of course, think they're the 144,000. And they've had to change their ideas as to what the 144,000 is several times over the years. Because their numbers have outgrown 144,000. So they had to give another explanation as to what the 144,000 is. I'm not even going to go into that. When we talk about the cult someday, I'll go into that and show you how crazy they are in their thinking along that line. But what is this 144,000? Go to Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. Anybody have any question? Additional thought? Anything? All right. 144,000 witnesses for the Lord. Revelation 7. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of who?
Israel.
Israel. These are going to be Israelites, not Jehovah's Witnesses here in the United States. 144,000 Jewish Israelites. And we're going to see men, virgin men, who are going to be miraculously sealed by God to be witnesses to the nation of Israel of their Jehovah. And they're going to preach the gospel to the nation of Israel during the 7 years of tribulation. You have to think now. When the rapture of the church takes place, what witness will there be left in the world of the gospel of Jesus Christ? It'll be gone. Right now, the witness to the world is the church. We're it. You know, this world really ought to be thankful that we're here. Because as long as we're here, these things are not going to take place. Once we're gone, these things are going to start taking place. And so God needs a witness, and he's going to get it after this war, which I believe is going to, not war, but this attempt by Russia on the hills of Israel. As a result, 144,000 Jewish men, the same amount from each tribe of Israel mentioned here, are going to get, if you want to say, saved, born again, and they are going to be the witnesses for the 7 years of tribulation. And they're not going to do a bad job at all. They're going to do a good job. Go to chapter 14, Revelation 14. Anybody with a question yet? Anything coming up or a thought in your mind? Anybody? Don't be afraid. Your question is probably what someone else wants to ask. I've never seen that to fail. All right. It's always been the case. All right. Revelation chapter 14. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. Well, that's the same group we just mentioned in Revelation 7. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. So what kind of music are you going to have in heaven? Harps would be one of them. All right. Verse 3. And they sung, as it were, a new song. Who sang? The 144,000 before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. So that's why I say they were born again, saved. They were redeemed out of the earth during this time, in the very beginning of the tribulation time here. And they become witnesses. And now it describes them. Verse 4. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. So they're men, and they're virgin men. I wonder how can you find 144,000 virgin men today? That's going to be a hard thing, especially when the church is gone. Are there that many left that are going to be that type of person? Well, apparently so. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. So it appears that they give witness, and many of them die as martyrs or witnesses during the tribulation time. And they follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Wherever the Lamb goes, 144,000 is going to be with him. You know who else is going to be with the Lamb wherever he goes? Us. The bride. The Lamb's wife. The bride. We're going to be with him wherever he goes also. Plus this 144,000 group. They'll be with him. Yeah, it's going to be a grand time. It looks like the different groups are going to get a chance to sing on their own. And when the 144,000 sing, no one else can sing. Because no one else can appreciate what happened to them and how they were saved. After that war with Russia and so forth, and God destroying Russia and the Muslims on the hills of Israel there. It's going to be a great thing. 144,000 are going to turn their eyes upon the Lord and get saved. And then it's going to be time. All right, it's the church's. You know how I often say, all right, we're going to sing a song, and then Jason's going to sing. Right? I'll say that. And then Jason's going to sing. Up there in heaven, it's going to be, all right, when the 144,000 are done, then the church is going to get a chance. And then we're going to sing. And we're going to sing of what he had done to this body called the church, made up of both Jew and Gentile, and saved them, wonderfully saved them. And we're going to sing that. And I think the 144,000 are going to have to sit there. Well, we don't know anything about that. And the angels aren't going to be able to sing it because they've never been redeemed. They don't know what it means to be redeemed. Only we know what it means to be redeemed. All right, well then, later on, when everything is done and the Lord is king on the throne of Jerusalem, he'll say, okay, it's time for Israel to sing now. And you know what I believe they'll do? I believe they'll open up to the book of Psalms. And we're going to hear some of the most beautiful music sung from the book of Psalms like we've never heard before. And Israel is going to sing. And you know who's going to lead them? David, the psalmist. And he played a what? A harp. It's going to be a great day. Well, I didn't get too far there tonight, did I? Well, anybody in closing here have any questions? We could keep on going till midnight, couldn't we? There's a lot more things to talk about. So I guess we'll take another week to do this and get going a little bit further down the road. Sharon.
Mm-hmm. the throne in Jerusalem. Also, isn't it something like 2/3 of Israel will perish during the tribulation? I can't remember the numbers now, but it seems like there's going to be a whole lot less than...
There's going to be a remnant left. 1/3, there'll be a remnant. There's a few... She is making a remark about Romans chapter 11, how the end of the chapter says that all Israel shall be saved in that day. That's at the very end of the tribulation time. They'll finally look unto Jesus. It'll be through the instrumentality of this 144,000 who've been witnessing to them. And many will get saved during this time. But there are scriptures in the Old Testament. Isaiah talks about a remnant being left, and sometimes it's the word tenth. Another time you might see a third is mentioned. So there's going to be a remnant left of Israel. So yes, a lot of them are going to die. Some of them who die will be actually saved, but they are going to die because of their testimony in the Lord. Because we will refer to them as martyrs. They will die as martyrs. They'll be beheaded. And not only Jews, but Gentiles who believe during this time will also suffer at great length for trusting Jesus Christ at that time in opposition to the Antichrist, whose mark they won't take. That's another thing we'll talk about. We can get to that. All right, so, yep, those are good observations. Anything else? Try to repeat these things for those. Chris Mitchell, go ahead.
Maybe get everybody involved in bringing up scriptural reasons for why we believe in the pre-tribulational rapture and not post or millennial.
Yeah. Okay. That I'm not going to get into that.
No, not tonight.
In this study right now. The question was: should we talk about the pre-tribulation rapture, post-tribulation rapture, mid-tribulation rapture? I am not necessarily going to get involved in that in this study. I do want to keep working right on through the timeline here. That could be for another time. Not that we're afraid to do it. It's very obvious, I believe, that the pre-trib position is the right position as to when the rapture will take place. The rapture will take place before the tribulation. There are some who don't believe that, believe that it will happen halfway through. Others believe it will happen at the end. All right, anything else? But I do not intend to deal with that. If you're waiting to hear that, it won't be on this session of messages. All right. Anything else? Les.
I'm reading this thing, and I'm probably misinterpreting it.
Go ahead.
Matthew 24, 5, he says, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ."
Okay.
Now he's saying, many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ. Talking about himself.
No, I hear. That's a good question. Good question. So what does that mean? It means that many will come claiming to be a Christ like Jesus is. And they'll say, I'm the Christ. I'm the Christ. And many have come and gone claiming to be Jesus Christ. There, in fact, just in the modern days, we had Sun Myung Moon and the Unification Church. He claimed to be the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now he's come and gone. I think he's dead. So guess what? He didn't rise up from the grave. It's all gone. I don't know if that's even around. How many have ever heard of the Moonies? Remember the Moonies? They sold flowers to support themselves, if you remember. Yep. And there will come many in the tribulation time saying they are Christ, but one will eventually escalate to that position, and Satan will enter into him, and he will declare himself to be Christ, but he will be an antichrist. John writes in the first his epistle of 1 John and says that there are many antichrists even now among us. So a lot of individuals have come along saying they're Christ and they're not. Does that answer that question there, Les?
Yeah, kind of.
Kind of?
Yeah, but speaking of himself, actually, so many will come in my name saying, I am Christ. Mm-hmm. He's saying, they're going to say that I am the Christ.
Using his name.
Meaning they're preaching Christ.
Yep. It's going to be very deceptive. It will be. It'd be very, very deceptive. And they will come in my name. Remember, I was reading the passage to you about the guys who wanted to mimic the Apostle Paul's ability to cast out demons. And the sons of Sceva is their names. And they said, in the name of Paul, we cast out demons. Well, that demon said, Christ we know, Paul we know, but who are you? And the demons jumped on them and tore them apart, and they ended up running away naked as a result. But they were coming in the name of Paul, you know, trying to perform miracles. And there will come people in the name of Jesus. Oh, that's how deceptive this thing will be. In fact, okay, you're there in Matthew 24, right? Matthew 24. Let's go down a little bit further. Let's go down a little further to verse 24. This might help, okay? Verse 24. Even 23. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders. And you can be sure they're going to say, in Jesus' name of Nazareth, I command, you know, whatever they want to do. Insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Meaning deceiving the ones who have really trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's how deceptive this thing will be. But they won't be. It says if it were possible. So they aren't going to be totally deceived. But the deception is going to be very great. And I'm going to tell you, if we're at the end times, and this is only, if the rapture took place right now, the events we're talking about here are just years, you know, 2-3 years away. If not even sooner. So what I'm going to say is the deception is already starting now. That's why it's very important for you to be a student of this book, because the deception is going to be very great. Yep. Jim. Following them. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. It's happening. Happening. Jim was saying that even now there's men in Israel who are claiming to be Christ, Jesus. And there's Antichrist even now pretending to be Jesus Christ. Kathy? Right. Yeah. Yep. For many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many.
Since he's saying that, he's saying many are coming in my name and saying that I am Christ.
No. Oh, is that what you're thinking it might be saying there, Les? Possibly. Oh, okay. All right. No, it's not saying that. No, it's not saying that. They're saying that Jesus is Christ to deceive many. No, he's talking about time in the future coming in which there will come those who will say, I am Christ. They're going to say they are Christ. They are Christ. Yes. Not that Jesus is Christ and that he's a deceiver or something like that. Although, didn't we read that the Pharisees said that this deceiver said that 3 days, 3 days I'll rise up from the grave. They said that. But he's talking about the end times here. That there are going to come those who say they are the Christ and deceive people doing that. And it's happened. It has happened. It happened in the early church age as well. It's not something new. It's been going on for a long time. Chris Mitchell.
And he's a man who is in hiding, and he's waiting for the right time to come out. Mm-hmm. And he's already got the circuit, and he is Jesus Christ.
Yep. Yeah. Chris is saying that there's a man for many years who says he's the Messiah, and he's in hiding, waiting to appear at the right time. Well, yeah, just another example of Jesus saying that would happen. So, are we surprised at that? Should we be surprised that there are people who say that they're Christ? No. Jesus said that would happen. Joe.
If they knew Scripture, would they not look for his nail-scarred hands?
Mm-hmm. That'd be a good way to determine if he's a Christ or not. Look for the nail-scarred hands is what's being suggested here. Yeah. You know what, though? You just put them up to Scripture, and you will find that they are a false Christ. They don't measure up to the Scripture. And they don't measure up to who my Savior Jesus Christ is. They have to be born of a virgin. It's just so ridiculous after a while. There's no way that anybody could do that. Bill?
You were just reading out of Matthew 24, but the last three verses you left off, it says, "Wherefore, if they say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not thither. Behold, he is in secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even into the west, mm-hmm. so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be."
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He describes what to look for.
Yep.
As fast as lightning.
It's going to happen, and it's going to happen a lot. Deceivers are going to be coming from all angles. It's going to get very deceptive. Very deceptive. Which tells me that the real Antichrist, who finally does emerge, has got to be even more deceptive than all of the rest. For him to get everybody to follow him, how deceptive must he be? If the other deceivers weren't good enough to deceive, how much more deceptive must his ministry be? I'm telling you, this world is headed for quite a time. Quite a time. So it's no time now for us to be fooling around being lackadaisical spiritually. We need to be students of God's word. Mm-hmm. Anything else? Yep. Good questions and good thoughts. All right. Let's have a word of prayer and be dismissed. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us the scriptures and the things in reference to the future events. Oh, this world is headed for some wild deception. And Lord, we see it even going on already. So help us as a church witness and testimony in the area here to be faithful to your word and following the scriptures and not just what we think or what men say. We need to follow your word. So help us to do this, especially in these times. In times like these, we need a Bible. We need an anchor, as the songwriter has said. So help us as we go our way to be students of thy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.